When it comes to purchasing something, I think it just becomes so much easier for us if there are less choices. I mean, I don't know if you've ever gone through that, whether it be buying a car. Certainly with me, like anytime like I'm buying a musical instrument and I have all these different choices, sometimes that could just make for just a tougher decision-making process. Well, now that I've kind of painted that picture for you, I want to let you know that it's probably about a million times worse when it comes to all the choices you have out there in selecting a sales coach. So today I'm going to show you how to weed through all of the fluff, all of the BS, so that you can make a more informed decision. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. All right, so here you are, and you're finally at the point where you're saying, you know what, I really can't go this alone. And I could really use a little bit of help in getting to the next level in sales. First of all, if you're even entertaining those thoughts, I really want you to give yourself a round of applause, because just that alone is putting you ahead of so many of your peers. Because I'm going to tell you why. I really believe that we have something that's both a blessing and a curse in sales, and it's our egos. And it's a blessing because it serves as body armor to the amount of like rejection and some of the idiots that we have to deal with, right? And people that are harsh with us and everything else. We need that ego as part of the body armor to protect us from quitting in many ways, protect us from, you know, just throwing our arms up in the air and say, you know, the heck with this, man, I'm moving on to the next opportunity. But it's also a curse because many times it keeps us from handling the truth. The ego protects us. So just the fact that you're willing to acknowledge that you might need some help, it puts you ahead of so many people in sales today. So I really want you to be excited about that. And as far as like where do you start though? Like, I mean, where do you start this journey to find the right sales coach? Because again, if this were something where there was maybe a half a dozen of us, it would be an easier decision for you. But there's almost too many choices out there. So how do you find the right choice? How do you find the equivalent of your soulmate when it comes to this person that's going to guide you into this next chapter of your life? So my advice, in fact, I have lots of pieces of advice I'm going to share with you today, is start with, instead of, you know, many times people say start with the why and all that kind of thing, I guess I'm going to be a little contrarian. I'm going to tell you to start with the what. As in, what do you want to accomplish? And you need to get crystal clear. What qualities do you want to develop? So I'm going to say that again. You're going to start with the what, as in, what do you want to accomplish? And you need to get crystal clear. And what qualities do you need to develop to get to that next level? For example, you might look and say, you know, one of the qualities that I'm really going to need to develop is getting better with managing my time. I'm really good at servicing accounts, but I'm just horrible at, you know, then adding the hunting element in there too. It might be something that you look at and you say, you know what, I'm fine until it gets to the point that they tell me my price is too high, or I'm fine until they tell me on the phone I'm not interested. I'm fine until, you know what, you start moving beyond the phone and trying to think about other ways to mix it up, because like not everybody's answering their phone anymore. So what do I do? So you need to really think about the qualities that you need to develop. And once you like do that, now I'm going to ask you to repeat the process again, except you're going to do something different this time. You're going to ask your ego to leave the room, because that ego that I was telling you about before has a way of getting in the way of the truth and protecting us from things that could hurt us and make us stop dead in our tracks or give up. And that's not a good thing for you. So I want you to right now tell your ego to leave the room. And I want you to have an honest conversation with yourself as to what are the qualities that you need to develop. Now, what I've done to make this a little easier for you is and I can't help you with like making it easier telling your ego to leave the room. That's a tough one to do for a lot of us, right? But what I have done is I've created a free checklist for you. And I must have a good 80 qualities that I've written down. And I've defined, along with a lot of help from the Sales Playbook community, the qualities of a sales rock star. And I've asked this question for years now. What are the qualities of a sales rock star? And I've asked it in group discussions on LinkedIn. I've asked it in my own group several times. I've asked it in my own coaching practice and in the sales training that I've done. In my keynote speeches, I've asked it with, you know, audience of 800 and 900 people. And people have filled it out for me in different surveys and things that I've done. And I was able to compile this really cool list. I made it fun because if you're like me and you start looking at something that's really technical and it's starting to look like an assessment, like somebody's judging you, I start shutting down. So I wanted to make this as like sales friendly as I could. A lot of cool colors. We used the rock star theme for it. So if you'd like to snag your own free copy of it, all you have to do is go to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. Now, that's going to be the first thing that you need to do. Now, what you need to do is understand beyond a shadow of a doubt why a coach is essential to your success. Because, you know, you might still be on the fence. You know that you need to get better, but you're not fully bought into the concept of like why I need to like spend my money to get a coach. And I don't blame you. I mean, I'm going to be straight up with you and tell you, as someone who's hired numerous coaches throughout his sales career, there are a lot of bullshit artists out there. There are a lot of people out there that you're looking at them and you're like, I don't know that this person's for real or not, right? And again, when you have all these choices, like, what do you do? But you need to understand, beyond a shadow of a doubt, why a coach is essential to your success. So I want to give you a few reasons for you to consider. I mean, number one, we talk about learning from our mistakes. The idea of learning from a mistake is really, really important. But I just want to tell you that you don't have time to make a lot of mistakes. Now, I want to be very clear in what I'm saying. I'm not saying that mistakes are awful and they're not a learning experience and you shouldn't learn from them. I'm saying, you know, you don't have an endless amount of time to keep falling on your ass. And a good coach has made every conceivable mistake. I mean, one of the things I tell my students, I tell you guys right here on my podcast, nobody is going to outdumb me when it comes to dumb mistakes I've made throughout my career. And I'm very open and willing to share those with people, mostly in the form of not really war stories, but in the form of, you know, I'm telling you, I did exactly what you're doing right now. And it was disastrous for me. It actually cost me 6 months of having to try to find another account to replace an account at that level. Or, you know what? I did exactly those things. I actually lost my first business because I wasn't continually hunting for new business. I was servicing accounts, relying too much on the orders coming in. So it's very, very important that you have someone who's been there and done that. But it's very important that you understand that you don't have an endless amount of time to keep making mistakes. So what's really good about a good coach and a great coach is that they're going to help you get there faster. So that's the first thing. You know, oh, in fact, you know, I just want to share something with you. And this is really important. When I started Castain Training Systems a few years ago, I made a mistake that almost cost me my business. I did not, at that point in time, have a business coach for my business, obviously, right? To help me, to guide me, to kind of point me in the directions that I needed to go in. And I approached something the wrong way. And I'll tell you what it is. I mean, I've shared it with you guys. Those of you who have been following for a while, you know the story, but I'll tell it again. What happened was, in the very beginning, I was thinking more of doing events where I would have a live event, you guys would fly out to wherever it is, and then maybe eventually I'd do them throughout the country, like maybe do one out in Chicago or do one out in California, whatever. But for my first one, I figured let's do this on the home turf, right out on Long Island, New York. And at that point, I mean, I had a tremendous following of people between LinkedIn and my blogging. I had been blogging for a few years at that point, even. This was 2011 that this happened. I had really, you know, a lot of people that knew who I was because I worked with a lot of people. I just exited a company that there was an 800 and something person sales force. I had worked for Dale Carnegie. So, you know, I had met a lot of people there. So I really had the base of people to get the message to. And yet, I could not fill the event. Now, part of that was a promotional problem. I did not promote it properly, didn't promote it with the proper amount of time. There was also a problem with the price point and my pricing strategy, how I went about doing it. Very, very quickly, in my case, for years, I just gave away things for free. You know, here you go. I had no intention of really selling this stuff for a living. And it was kind of like, here you go, no strings attached. And I literally went almost like overnight from, here you go, here's something free, and here's this free guide. I even had a page back in those days, free stuff from Uncle Paul. And it was just numerous ebooks and PDFs and little free posters and stuff. There must have been 20 or 30 free things there. I went from free to this will cost you $1,200 to attend this event. So that was a very big mistake. And as a result, we had like maybe 6 or 7 people that were going to go to it. That's it. I couldn't fill it. That was a big mistake. Now, I had a pivot at that point. And I realized that, wow, this is really not the way to go. And I had to go through a thought process that took me the better part of a year. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about being a new business and making a mistake that took you the better part of a year to figure out. Do you think you lost money while you're figuring it out, or do you think people threw money at you? Here's some money, Uncle Paul. You're a nice guy. I'm going to give you lots of money while you figure this out and do some soul searching. So I lost a lot of money in the meantime just trying to figure this out. I had income coming in from other revenue streams with Castain Training Systems and the coaching and all that, but this part of the business was broken. It took me almost a year to figure it out. And when I figured it out, by the way, it actually was the best mistake I ever made in my business, because it turned out that my answer was, I want to do more online training. And right now, to date, we've had, I think, over 8,500 graduates of all the, you know, sales training programs we have online and the webinars and attendees and all that. So it was actually a very profitable mistake. But here's the deal. It took me a year to realize how to pivot properly. If I had had a good business coach, they would have known. If they had been there and done that, like a good business coach can tell you, they would have saved me that. In fact, I would maintain that if they coached the way I do, they would have prevented that from happening and given other options. So that's one of the things right there. So really, you don't really have the time to learn from your mistakes. But also, too, I think you need somebody who's going to kick your ass as needed. Now, I want to be very clear. That's not an excuse for somebody to be nasty with you or licensed to be a dick. That's not. I mean somebody who is going to call you out. And I think that's very, very important. And I also think it needs to be the criteria for selecting a really, really good coach for you, because there's a lot of coaches that they're just too busy and too worried about getting the next check from you or getting your next PayPal payment that they're not going to have the balls to call you out on something. Well, let me give you an example of calling you out on something. You know, when you're in sales as long as I've been and you've seen a lot of things, you really understand the behavior of salespeople. And one of the things I see all the time and I talk about all the time is this sense of, yeah, that's sales 101, or yeah, everybody knows that or whatever. Now, there's a lot of coaches out there. They don't want to run the risk of you like getting annoyed with them and hurting your little feelings. And they would just leave that alone and let you tell them that and maybe try to find something to teach you or talk about with you that is more new and exciting. Conversely, if one of my clients ever says that to me, they're going to get an earful. I'm going to say, hey, no problem. That means you're doing it, right? Take me through how you're actually doing it then. And if they can't tell me that they're actually doing this thing, that they just flagged the sales 101, I'm going to tell them to chill the hell out. And, you know, we need to step back and we need to actually do that. I don't allow that shit at all on my watch. And if somebody still wants to pursue that kind of tone, they're not going to stay as a coaching client. And again, that's not me saying, oh, I'm going to be difficult. I'm going to be a diva. It means that I only want people in my coaching program who are going to be humble students like I am. And the people I admire and the people that like have coached me, they've all been humble students. And, you know, there's a lot of coaches that just wouldn't take the time to call you out on something like that. So you need someone that's going to kick your ass in that sense. And I also think closely related to that, you need someone who's going to hold you accountable. And what I mean by that, and there's just, and I know you know what I mean by that, but I just want to flesh that out a little bit more. Many times in sales and in life, we talk about the things we're going to do. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Or I'm going to make those calls. Or, in fact, think about that one. How many times have you said that, okay, you know what, I'm this Thursday coming up, I got to get on the phone and make calls. This Thursday comes and goes, and you had all these other things that, for whatever reason, pulled you away, and you never made the calls. A good coach is going to hold you accountable. Now, they're not going to go and sit there and embarrass you and demean you, but they're going to very respectfully ask you, hey, you know, one of the things we talked about last time was that you were going to make calls on Thursday from 1 to 3. How did it go? Well, I didn't get to it. Okay, so let's talk about why you didn't get to it and what can we do differently next time to keep this from happening? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's never going to be an ideal time where the heavens open up and the hand of God comes down with a little sign that says, presenting the ideal time to make your damn calls. It's just not going to happen, right? And by the way, if it does happen, it's going to freak me the hell out. I need to say that. It just needs to be said. But the other thing and the other reason why I think it's so important for you to have a coach is because we're living now in this like do-it-yourself society. And if you think about it, I mean, just like look what I'm doing right now. I'm teaching you something. And look at all the stuff, like just like me alone on my blog that I share and on my app. I mean, we have like 275 audio sales lessons. Look at all the videos on YouTube. If you go on Google and you Google sales tips, you know, millions are there for you, right? Again, it's almost like too much. The problem is this. Is that it can really be deceptive. And let me explain why. One of the things that I teach is a method to kind of accelerate your performance. And we always talk about how the first element is always like your mindset and your attitude and, you know, the urgency that we have, right? That's kind of, and there's a lot of other parts of that, but the first component is always the mindset. The second component is the information. Now, again, today, there is an incredible amount of information that's available. In fact, a few years ago, I read that just in a copy of your daily paper, there is more information in that alone. Like you could just take like, well, today's Sunday. That's a bigger paper. It's just like take like Monday's paper if you're listening on Monday. There's actually more information in that paper than the average person was exposed to in their entire lifetime in the 17th century. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. And you know what? What the hell? If, like, nothing else, man, you're going to be a hit at, like, the next party. You're going to say, did you know that the average person today? You know, anyway. But here's the deal. So you've got this mindset that says, you know what? I can do. I will do. I have the urgency to do it now. You're getting the information to kind of work on some of those areas where you're a little weak. And now the next part happens, or maybe doesn't happen. That might be a better way of saying it. And the whole thing breaks down. The third component in this success formula that I teach is the action component. Now, what happens with a lot of people is, and in training, by the way, they call it the knowledge trap. People have this great attitude. You know, it's a new year. I'm going to kick ass. And, you know, yes, I got to do this. I got to make a change. And, yes, I'm Mr. Positive Thinking. And they have the information, but they don't do anything. They don't apply it, and they don't practice. So that's one of the mistakes that can be avoided if you have a coach, because they're going to hold you accountable. But then there's another little problem. The other thing is, if you don't have a coach, many times we think that practice makes perfect. Now, this is another kind of like coachisms or like sales trainerisms or whatever it is. And there is like a saying that's been beaten to death, but it happens to be spot on. And they say, no, it's really, you know, not that practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent. Meaning that anything you practice repeatedly and over time becomes a habit. But here's the problem, folks. If you don't have someone checking your work, it could be possible, and many times it is possible, that you're doing it the wrong way. That you don't have somebody saying, hey, you know what? It's great what you're doing. I just need to tell you that there's a better way to be doing it. I mean, you're actually making it more difficult. In fact, you know, the example I always give is from guitar playing, man. I've been using this example like forever. I always talk about how when I finally decided to get a guitar teacher, how I had to unlearn some things. I had been, and this is a long time ago, this is like 30 years ago when I had gotten a guitar teacher. And by the way, I had had some kind of like hobbyists that called themselves guitar teachers before that. But when I went and I got this one guy, Steve, man, who's like a beast, still a beast. I still study with him. He's a lunatic on the guitar. And almost to the point that he's like possessed. I mean, seriously, I think that's the level that he plays at. And I remember him saying to me, all right, I want you to play a few things for me. He was like, all right, stop. He goes, you're not going to like this, but you're holding the guitar the wrong way. And I remember like saying to him, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm really not paying you to like give me like the mechanics and shit of the guitar. I just want to play like that Yngwie Malmsteen solo, or I want to play that, you know, that Eddie Van Halen thing that's out now on the new album or whatever it was. And I remember him telling me that, well, first of all, you know, you got the wrong guy. I mean, I have to apologize, but that's not what I do. So I give him a lot of credit for having the balls to just like call me out on that. But secondly, he said, you need to understand something, that the way you're playing is actually, you're tripping over yourself. Your right hand is leaning too much on the strings. So you're actually slowing yourself down. And all these things that you mentioned, Van Halen and Yngwie Malmsteen, are lightning quick. And there's no way you can play lightning quick if you're slowing yourself down. He said, imagine, and he gave me a really good analogy. He said, imagine running in a race and you're a sprinter. And I say to you, hey, but before we begin the race, I want to tie these 2-ton weights onto you. He goes, literally, it's like that. You are slowing yourself down to the point that you're not going to even be able to move properly with this. You're actually going to be making mistakes and things like that if it progresses. So what was really good, and what happened there, was that if I didn't have that coach, so to speak, I would have continued playing the wrong way. And I will tell you that it took a while for me to unlearn it. It really did. I mean, I was really a stubborn student in those days. But once I did, oh my God, man, like my speed improved, my accuracy, just like I was playing a lot cleaner. So it made such a difference for me. So that's one of the things I want you to think about, like why you have to do it. Now let's get into how to hire the damn coach. Kind of beating around the bush enough. First of all, you want to look at their experience. How much years of actual selling experience? I want to say this again. You would think that I don't have to say this, but I do. How many years of actual, as in like they sold shit at some point, like how long did they actually sell shit? That's what you need to do. And you need to look for that on their LinkedIn profile. I sold shit for X amount of time. And because you have many coaches out there who are really experienced at coaching and they're certified and everything else. And I think it's really ballsy that they would be coaching people in sales when many of them, when we look at their background, have no sales experience. That doesn't make any sense to me. You can talk about some things that could be applied over there, but it's very hard to relate to someone if you haven't done it. So, and by the way, it's a very different world that we live in as salespeople. This is why, and I'm sorry for the mini rant, that I'm really against HR people interviewing salespeople as like the exclusive interview or like the first interview. I think they have their place in this mix. But also, I mean, many times they're asking you the same shitty questions that they're going to ask the person in the operations department or, you know, the line manager over in the factory or something like that. So I think that's really, really important. You want to look at their track record. And again, level of experience. I remember there was this, and there are a few people like this online, especially, because that's where most of you are going to be exposed to people online, on LinkedIn, blogging, you know, other thought leaders like me. I remember there was this one lady that everybody kept saying in these, like, in this one group on LinkedIn, this was several years ago, wow, it's always, you know, so valuable when you chime in, and, you know, it's great to see someone with your level of experience helping us. And I just kept hearing that. So one day, being the nosy idiot that I am, I just had to check. And I look, and I'm not kidding you, I thought it was a joke. I thought I was missing something. I thought maybe I was still hungover from the other night of drinking or whatever. Like, I had to, like, look at it, like, several times. And I looked, and I kid you not, she had a grand total of 3 years of sales experience. And that was several years ago. And during those 3 years, I think she had three jobs during that time. So I'm just wondering, like, how, like, she became qualified as an expert during that time. So it was just, like, kind of amazing. So you want to look, again, at their track record, the level of experience in the areas that you flag for improvement in that first step we talked about. So when you've identified things on that checklist I told you to download, then you want to make sure that they actually have some experience in those areas. But then also, you want to see if they're still selling, or, you know, hopefully it's not a deal like we see a lot with some of the sales coaches, that the last time that they actually sold something was like, I don't know, 2001, 2002. So that can, like, put them out of touch a little bit, right, with the everyday things. So you're going to need to find out if they're actually still selling things. And what products or services have they sold? Now, I don't think, and again, this is your call, though, but my personal opinion is you don't necessarily need someone who has sold your exact product. Like, everybody likes to think that they have the only product or service in the world that, you know, certain selling skills apply to. Sales is sales, and selling skills are selling skills. So I don't know that you necessarily need that unless you just insist on that. But I'm going to tell you that I think it's more important that you look at what they've sold from the context of, you know, the sales cycle, maybe a similar size sale. Were they doing something that was more transactional, and meanwhile you're doing something that is going to take, oh, I don't know, like 8-9 months or something like that? Could be a disconnect. I think it's important to look at how they generated business and how they went after things. I've had cases where people have come to me and they said, I'm going to ask you a very specific question. I'll explain why afterwards, but I need an honest answer from you. How did you generate your sales activities, like, I mean, or your opportunities? And afterwards, they said, the reason why I'm asking you is because I spoke to a few coaches where they had inside sales reps making their appointments. I need help making appointments, so they're not going to help me, you know? So that's why it's important for you to kind of look at that. How about, like, even like the level of competition? One of the reasons why people hire me as a sales coach is that when they look at my background on LinkedIn, they see that every industry that I've been in has been almost cutthroat as far as competition. Sales training, ton of people in that space. I was in building services and franchising, ton of competition in that space. I was in printing for a number of years. Think about how many printers there are in the U.S., a ton of people in that space. Chemical industry, same thing. So, you know, those are some considerations for you. And then I think it's very, very important that if you have a chance to speak with a potential coach, that you have them take you step by step through the last sale that they made. And I think that's a nice cross check to make sure that they're still active in sales. But I think it's very, very important because it's going to help you get a sense of their selling style and the circumstances and just how they think. And also, really, what they can bring to the table for you. So I think that's important. This next one, if you're not driving, I think, and this is all part of kind of how to hire them, I think you have to circle this. I think it's very, very important that they share with you the challenges that they've had to overcome as a sales professional. And this question is a knockout punch question. Because if they are not willing to share that with you, you need to run away very, very quick. Because I'm going to tell you that one of the reasons why you guys don't hire sales coaches is because you look at us like we're a bunch of pompous know-it-alls. And there are many people who deserve that title. There are many people who you would think that they did it perfectly. And if you ever follow them on LinkedIn, they are so judgmental about the sales profession. Like, well, you should have done this. And, you know, the problem, and, you know, I'm always telling sales reps, that's why, like, this real pompous shithead who never made a mistake. To me, it's, you know, it's really easy to talk about things from, you know, your chair. But when you're in the battle itself and you've been there and you have the scars to prove it, I think that's a different thing. But the question that you're going to ask is, what are the challenges that you've had to overcome as a sales professional? I think I would even go a step further after they ask that question. When they do that, say, you know, are there some that are even like a recent one? What's a recent one that you can take me through? Because this is going to tell you if they're coachable. Because, and if they really buy into the humble student philosophy I always talk about, and if they don't buy into that, you need to run away from them very, very quickly. Again, because there's so many coaches out there, it's not like you don't have any choices. So the other thing that's really, really important, if they're a sales leader, like quote unquote, a sales, like, you know, thought leader, I'm sorry, a sales thought leader. And I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. Like me, I kind of position myself that way. I mean, all this stuff that I do here on my blog and here on this podcast and some of the LinkedIn articles that I put out, I'm trying to like get the methodology out there. The thing of it is though, is when you read some of the things that sales leaders are putting out there, you need to determine very, very quickly, and you can, if they're more philosophical and more of an evangelist than someone who's like dispensing practical, actionable advice. Let me say this again. If they're a thought leader, if you're considering right now a thought, you know, a sales thought leader, and you're saying, you know, I really like what this person's saying and everything else, you've got to dig a little bit deeper. And you got to say, okay, this information that they're putting out there, is it more of a philosophical type of message? More, are they more of like an evangelist? And I'll explain this to you in a minute. Than someone who's dispensing actual, practical, actionable advice. Like, do these three things, get this result. Like today, I'm giving you actual advice. I'm saying, all right, you need to do this. You should ask this exact question, that kind of thing. So there are two sales thought leaders. And you know me, I'm never going to badmouth people. That's not my style. I think that's another thing, too. You come across somebody who's doing that, there's your answer, right? There's your sign. Don't hire that person because it's really not a good way to sell. And It's just something that I really don't want a part of. But just as a general statement, I will tell you that there's two sales thought leaders out there that are always talking about value. And that's a really good conversation to have, but it's never in a quote-unquote how-to type of sense. Like, again, here's how you leverage value, or here are three ways to create value. Here's, you know, a step-by-step process for creating value. Instead, I see things that are more of a philosophical nature, the importance of value, and, you know, the different stages and levels and things like that of value. Hey, that is really important stuff. But if everything they're putting out there is more philosophical, how is that going to help you? Because, I mean, last time I checked, we don't make sales based on being a good philosopher. We make sales following a good process, right? So that's one example. Let me give you now an example of more like an evangelist. What I mean by that, there are also two very well-known thought leaders in the social selling space. And they are continually preaching why social selling is a must and how sales has changed. And I agree with every word of that, by the way. But they never dispense actual advice. I never see them saying, here are a few ways that you can use social selling immediately. For those of you who don't know anything about social selling, here are three things you could do right now. I never see actual advice from them. In fact, many times when I hear them being interviewed and everything else, they keep saying the same line several times throughout the interview. You know, I'm a social selling evangelist, and this is why I'm such an evangelist. And quite frankly, I really don't give a shit that they're an evangelist. Like, I just want to know, what can I do? And that, to me, is disheartening when I hear people going on about either the philosophical side of sales too long, or they're getting into this whole evangelist kick. And this is why, you know, sales reps today also have to be good marketers. Okay, great. To me, that's a two-minute conversation. But now tell me how in the F to do that, because that's what I'm concerned about. That's what I want to do. So probably would not be a good selection for you as a coach, unless you want to pay someone to have really high-level intellectual conversations that really don't amount to dick. That's, to me, what – and you can quote me on that, by the way. I want to see that somewhere tomorrow. I know that. Somebody's going to – because the last time I did that, somebody quoted it on Twitter. And, yeah, whatever. So I think that's something very, very important. Now, the other thing, too, is you really got to look at people who do a little something-something called practicing what you preach. And, like, let's just say, for example, you need help with cold calling. And you reach out to me, and then I tell you, yeah, I really don't cold call. In fact, in the freebie that I'm going to give you, somebody approached me before I owned my training company when I was in charge of the training for about 800 people at $1 billion-a-year company, approached me, and I think she left maybe one or two shitty voicemails for me and never reached out to me again. And yet she's trying to position herself as an expert on cold calling, and like I should hire her to teach my team to like do exactly what I'm trying to get them not to do, by the way, which is like leave two shitty messages and give up. Like, it was, to me, there was like no rhyme or reason, and she sounded awkward as shit. She just did not like the message. Like, I mean, it just didn't sound good. It was horrible. But anyway. So I think that's really, really important. I think, you know, let's just say you need help with LinkedIn. And yet, what if you went to my profile and you see that I haven't had any activity in 6 weeks? Again, it's going to seem like I'm picking on, like, the social selling crowd. And by the way, I'm a big advocate of that whole social selling thing. Like, I was sold on it before people calling it social selling. We were calling it sales 2.0. In fact, I remember I had the privilege of hanging out with the person who coined that phrase, Nigel Edelstein. Cool guy, by the way. We got to work on a project together about 7 years ago. We actually created a training program together a few years back. So I've been an advocate of it. I just think that, you know, some of the messaging in that space right now leaves a little bit to be desired. And but I can tell you, like, again, practicing what you preach. There, like, let's just say you want help with social selling. But you look and you see that whenever I post something on LinkedIn and people comment or on my blog or whatever, I never respond to the comments. So there's nothing social about that and ignoring people. And many of them do that. I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying the social selling crowd, they suck at that. I'm just saying that The first thing I would be looking at is to make sure somebody's social. Also, maybe they never follow back or reply to people. I think those are some really, really important things. I will tell you that there is a well-known company in the social selling space. And what they were doing a few years ago, and they probably still do it, is they were approaching people like me to offer a product to our clients that we would get a commission on, and it would help them with social selling. It's a whole program that they could do. Now, you want to talk about practicing what you preach? They approached me through LinkedIn and went immediately into a sales pitch. They never nurtured that relationship. They never got to know me. We never had a phone call. There was never any kind of a courtship. So all they did, as far as I'm concerned, was did a glorified cold call, repackaged it, threw a nice little fancy little price tag on it, and said, this will be social selling and you can sell it to your clients. So practicing what you preach is really, really important. And that kind of brings us to one of the most important elements here. Do they have a coach? And if so, unless it's like getting very, very personal, what are they being coached on? What are some of the things that you're working on in your business? And me, pardon me, I'm an open book. And I think that's another thing that's very, very important to a coaching relationship, because I can't ask you to be honest with me if I'm going to shut down on you. So I really try very, very hard to be an open book with my clients. Next is their coaching style and the program itself. Now, the coaching style, this right here is where I'm different than I would say 99.99999% of the coaches out there. The coaching model, if you will, is one where a coach asks you an inordinate amount of questions and leads you on a path of self-discovery. I think that's a very important thing, by the way. I'm not here to diss it, but I want you to understand something also. From the perspective, my perspective, someone who's a coach, by the time you guys have the balls to pick up the phone and call me, because I know it's a difficult step, you really don't need more questions. You need answers by that point. And I'm also here to tell you that there are a ton of coaches that take advantage of the coaching model, and they don't do anything for their money. They just ask you a bunch of questions, and they hope you're going to get the answers. They give you no answers. And it's a really cool gig if you think about it, because if you ask somebody a good question, man, they might go on for the whole 45 freaking minutes of the session, and you didn't do any work. So, you know, I think it's very important that we ask good questions, and we get people thinking, and we kind of help them to become more introspective. But I think we also have to give them answers, too. So I think it's very, very important you find out their coaching style, if they're going to be just asking you a bunch of questions that are going to lead to a bunch more questions of your own, or if like they're actually going to dispense some advice, because that's part of, I think, what you're investing in. I think that would be helpful. So that's one of the things that I want you to think about. And the actual coaching program, have them take you through a typical coaching call. What does it look like? How long would it be? How do we start? How do we end? Do you hold me accountable? If so, well, give me some examples of how I'm going to be held accountable. Can you give me an idea of some of the things that we'll discuss? How do you even know what to like help me with? How are you going to assess that? So that's going to be very, very important that you do that. But, you know, I think the other thing that you're going to need to do, and I'm going to wind this down in a second. I have a really cool freebie, another really cool freebie for you. I think if you look at like all the different questions you could be asking a coach, I think one of the things that you might want to say to them is that, you know, because I really have so many like choices out there. I mean, you know that you have a lot of competitors. What is it that makes you different from all the rest? What do I need to know about you that would have you stand head and shoulders above every one of your competitors? What is it that makes you different? So, and again, you could ask that question any way you want. If I'm going to just like simplify it, what with all the choices out there as far as hiring a coach, what makes you the best choice? What makes you different? And I'm going to tell you, this is another knockout punch. If they can't articulate their difference to you, how in the hell are they going to teach you to articulate your difference? Because I really believe people buy difference. I believe all of us now are in industries that we have competitors. And certainly, you know, we're competing for attention. And certainly, we're competing against the status quo. And if someone who, like, is actually selling a particular service like coaching can't tell me why they are a better choice, how could I ever expect them to help me tell people why, or help me convey why I'm a better choice? So I think you need to think about that. And, you know, let me offer a free guide to you. And I have that checklist that I told you about before, but I also have a coaching guide, a free coaching guide, how to hire a sales coach. I go into a lot more detail. I think it's like 14 pages in there. Some really cool pictures as well, because, like, hey, man, we're visual. Like, I did everything but, like, little, like, coloring things in there for us to, like, doodle and stuff with the short attention spans. But if you'd like to get your free guide, I want you to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/coaching. yoursalesplaybook.com/coaching. You can download your free guide. But also, if you'd like to learn more about my coaching program as well and find out how I go about things, there's two things that you can do. First of all, if you go to that same link, yoursalesplaybook.com/coaching, and then on that page, you'll see information and a link that will take you to a special page with information about my coaching program. And if you need to talk to me directly, I will just ask you to do one thing before you do it. I want you to first go to that yoursalesplaybook.com/coaching page and click on the link for my coaching program so that you understand my program. Because again, I've designed it in a way that the people who are going to be a good fit for my program are going to say, oh my God, where's Castain been my whole life? But the people who are wrong for the program, because not everybody's going to be right, are going to run like hell. So that's why I insist you go to that first. And if you, at that point, are like ready to have a conversation with me and learn more, and you'd like to maybe ask me some questions, at that point, shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us on the web at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.